We now have a contribution from a much younger writer. David Clayton is only 70. But that means he was born in the year when the music charts began. This month, he's been celebrating 70 years of music charts. Here he is.
Given I've spent pretty much all my working life spinning records, I've only just realised that charts and I are the same age. We both arrived in the same week of 1952. It was thanks to the New Musical Express for establishing what was, at first, a top 12 of the best-selling records. Up until then, it was the sales of sheet music which had been the measure of a song's popularity. Percy Dickins from the NME gathered a pool of some 50 or so record shops and started ringing some of them each week to compile a list of what was selling. The first chart appeared in the magazine on November the 14th, 1952, with Al Martino's Here in My Heart in the coveted first ever number one position. It stayed there for 9 weeks. Whether or not it would have been there for all 9 weeks had a chart not been compiled, we'll never know, because publicising what was the most popular record might well have made more people go and buy it. The first top seven records were all by Americans, but at a joint number seven was Vera Lynn, who also managed two other records in the first top 12. By 1954, the interest in a record chart had grown, as had the record-buying market, enough for the chart to be expanded to a top 20. Other music publications started compiling their own charts, as clearly the interest in what was at number one, or what was heading up to be number one, helped sell their magazines. When the pirate radio stations came along in the 1960s, they compiled their own record charts, not really basing them on record sales, but using the DJ's knowledge. Keith Skews remembers the time well from his days on Radio Caroline and Radio London. On the Radio London ship, head DJ Tony Windsor compiled what we referred to as a Fab 40 each week. It was pinned up in the studio, and in addition, we DJs had our own Climber of the Week records, Keith Skews tells me. The Radio London Fab 40 was often a couple of weeks ahead of the official chart in what was selling. My teenage years were through the 1960s and into the 1970s, and I can remember the excitement of Thursday evenings when the TV announced, "It's number one, it's Top of the Pops." That countdown at the start of the programme was watched eagerly, as was the rest of the all-too-short programme. Where an artist was in the charts really mattered. My DJ career began in 1971, and knowledge of the top 40 was vital for my record-buying trips to the record shop. The skill was spotting the newer chart entries and trying to decide whether to gamble on them being a hit. Would the new release, just in at number 38, sink without trace, or would it leap up to the top of the charts? Should I therefore buy while I can and be ahead of the game? The large collection of singles I amassed over the years is testament to the fact I didn't always get it right. We have Let's Talk reader Brenda Waite of Woolpit, Suffolk, to thank for the inspiration for this music feature. Brenda wrote in to us recently saying that she used to enjoy reading the old pop music charts from the 1950s and 1960s that we sometimes feature in the magazine. We really enjoy hearing from our readers with suggestions for stories they would like to see in the magazine. If there's a subject you'd like us to consider for a feature, do please get in touch by writing to us at Let's Talk, Prospect House, Rouen Road, Norwich, NR1, 1RE, or by emailing us at letstalk, which is all one word, at archant.co.uk. Or you can leave a phone message on 01603 772 464.
Thank you, David. And thanks to Brenda Waite for suggesting this.